It's Sunday morning, time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. I hope that you'll enjoy the show this morning. I've got a couple topics I want to cover, or more than a couple, and it's moving on to the end of winter, although one would probably not believe that with some of the weather that's been taking place. But what I wanted to start off with is a discussion about Justice Antonin Scalia and the Supreme Court. And I'm going to come at this today from a point of view which I think is one that ought to be considered, maybe not agreed with, but one that ought to be considered. And certainly you've heard zippo, not a thing about it in the American media. I actually had the pleasure of meeting Justice Scalia once. I can't say that I knew him, but I met him for many years in the small world category. For many years, he stayed with my mother and father-in-law in Natchez, Mississippi, as he was an ardent hunter. And that's really the purpose of my discussion about Justice Scalia this morning. Each year for I don't know how many years he stayed with my mother and father-in-law in Natchez and went deer hunting with friends from Mississippi. And as you may know, or if you don't know, when he passed away last week, he passed away while he was hunting in West Texas quail hunting. So the point of what I want to talk about this morning is his role, not in defending the Second Amendment, not in guns, because that's not what I think this was really about. His role in defending the right of people to go hunting. Justice Scalia, as far as I know, is the only individual on the Supreme Court, or was the only individual on the Supreme Court, who was an ardent sportsman. He actually last year took Justice Kagan duck hunting in Mississippi to the Fight and Bio Club and a couple of other places to introduce her to the heritage of hunting and to give her a better understanding about people who hunt, because Justice Kagan is an individual who has been pretty hard on gun ownership issues and on maybe an interpretation of the Second Amendment. And Justice Scalia felt that she would benefit by being able to go hunting, see what it's all about. And also, I guess they've struck up quite a friendship in the relatively short period of time in the court. So Justice Scalia, for his entire time on the U.S. Supreme Court, never, ever let anything go through the court that would have diminished the ability of people to hunt and diminished their rights to go hunting, sporting clays, clay targets, to own firearms. He was just absolutely line in the sand. You are not going, the Congress of the United States or the laws of the United States are not going to do anything to diminish one's ability to go hunting. So when we hear all this now, conversation about who the next Supreme Court justice should be, I think we might raise our hands and say, wait a minute, there are 9 justices. More than 1 in 9 Americans go target shooting or hunting. We deserve to have a representative on the Supreme Court who hunts. Plain and simple. That should be our line in the sand. We seem to have all these other issues about who can be on the Supreme Court. Are you pro-choice? Are you pro-life? Are you this? Are you that? But nobody discusses what really is in the founding of the Constitution and is the heritage of America, and that is our rights as citizens to go hunting. And I'm concerned, as I think we all should be, that another justice on the Supreme Court who is not passionate about hunting will diminish the rights of individuals to be able to go hunting. And certainly, the names being floated about by President Obama are not individuals that I'm aware of who have any connection to the outdoor recreation industry whatsoever. And certainly are not individuals who hunt or enjoy the shooting sports. So from the point of view of the 50-plus million Americans who go outdoors to hunt and enjoy the shooting sports and the fish. The Supreme Court should look like us, too. And I'm all for it looking like other parts of America that people feel are either in need of representation or underrepresented. But how about a Supreme Court justice who at the end of the day says, I understand hunting. I know what it's like to hunt. I have hunted all my life. I understand the heritage, the economics of hunting, the land management responsibilities of hunting, the wildlife management responsibilities that come along with hunting. I understand all that. So when we look at the fabric of American laws, I am going to be the advocate for the continuation of hunting in America and for the rights of people to go hunting and for the game management that's required to go hunting. This is what Justice Scalia did for his entire time on the bench. He was the voice that represented us, the sportsmen and women of America. Doesn't mean he always won, as you've been learning about him or may have already known. He was considered, his intellect was unquestioned. And when he dissented, he could be just sharper than a razor blade in cutting to the dissent, cutting people up in positions he didn't agree with. He also, on the other side, when he wrote the affirmative position, was equally flattering. So he's an individual who, at the end of the day, stood up for us. It doesn't matter whether he was appointed by Ronald Reagan as a conservative or a liberal. That doesn't matter. What matters to me is that he stood up for people who hunted and fished and enjoyed outdoor recreation in America and made sure that our rights were not impinged upon. That is the legacy of Justice Scalia when it comes to the outdoors. And he died. While he died in his sleep, he also died doing what he enjoyed most, and that was hunting. So from the time that I met him on a porch in Natchez, Mississippi many years ago, and we had a conversation about hunting and about deer hunting, I knew at that moment, while we didn't have a terribly long conversation, maybe half an hour, but nonetheless, a half an hour conversation with a justice in the U.S. Supreme Court is not something that takes place every day. And during that time that we sat on the porch, he was in a rocking chair and I was on a bench. We talked about the economics of hunting. We talked about the heritage. I asked him how he ended up in Mississippi. It's because he had friends in Mississippi. Here's a guy who grew up in the East Coast. They had friends in Mississippi, and every year he came to deer camp to participate in the ritual of deer hunting in Mississippi with his friends. He understood what we were all about. His values are going to be very much missed, and certainly his pen is going to be very, very much a big hole until we fill it with hopefully somebody who also shares the passion and the understanding of the outdoors that Justice Anthony Scalia did. I'll be back in just a moment with more on the Great Outdoors Show, and when I am back, I'm going to talk about a couple of, one of them actually is a Supreme Court decision that has really shaken up the world, and it's to do with the reach of the EPA, which is a very, very important decision, and I have to think that it, with that decision coming down this June, it wouldn't have come out the way it did because Justice Scalia was in the majority on it. And then I also want to talk a little bit about what's going on in the energy business and recycling. And then a little bit about, we are all hearing about the bees that are dying by the millions. Well, it turns out that research finds that a virus killing the honeybees was caused by us. I'll be back in just a moment. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN, and first a message from your Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Winter is here and it's always tough on the road, but when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And nothing is tougher than the 2016 Chevy Silverado. Silverado is the longest lasting, most dependable pickup on the road. With all steel construction, Silverado is built to tame Chicago's winter weather. And Silverado's towing package offers 11,400 pounds of towing capacity. Perfect for hauling your snowmobiles. I love pulling my neighbors out of their snowdrifts. And right now, you can get $7,250 total savings on a 2016 Chevy Silverado All-Star. $7,250. That really warms my heart. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and get all the details. Or head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer today and pick up a pickup that works as hard as you do, on the road or off. Chevy Silverado is one tough customer.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Hope that you are enjoying it. I'm going to switch from discussion about Justice Scalia and his advocacy of hunting all these years to an interesting research study on honeybees. As you may be aware, there's been a collapse, literal collapse in the honeybee population across much of the world in America. And nobody quite knew what it was caused by. There's been lots of speculation and lots of talk about global warming, things like that. Well, I'm going to just take a clip from what was published recently in the in Science, which is one of the major publications to do with the scientific world of the outdoors. The global spread of a virus that deforms the wing of honeybees and kills them in droves was caused by humans, new research has found. The study published last week in Science stated the problem dates back to the mid-20th century. Asian honey, and I'm now paraphrasing, Asian honeybees were traded widely in the former Soviet Union and then were introduced to Europe, and they were paired with honeybees there. For centuries, Asian honeybees had learned to fend off a mite that they carried as a host, a mite, I mean, just a microscopic, think about the size of a bee, a microscopic little organism. They had a natural immunity to a mite that lived in them as a host and fed on their blood. But European honeybees did not have this immunity to this mite. And so when the Asian honeybees were brought to the Soviet Union and then over periods of decades were introduced to Europe, they were carrying this mite that didn't bother them. It lived in their bloodstream. But the European honeybees had no immunity to it. It was totally foreign. And as a result, the European honeybees mating with and intermingling with the Asian honeybees picked up the mite, and they started to die. And they died by the millions. So what we have going on is that this biting mite picked up the virus, injected into the bees' honeybee stream, and therefore the immunity of these bees just, they didn't have any, and they've been dying by the millions, as I said. Then, just to compound matters, the European honeybees were then introduced to America, and a localized epidemic occurred because now, and is now evolved into what is called a global pandemic that has led to bee colony collapse disorder and is threatening agriculture that relies on the pollinating of honeybees, the fruit industry, just the entire agricultural and I guess you could say pollinization world is dependent on bees for pollinating crops and for pollinating flowers. And we're having what they call a pandemic, a population collapse. And it's all because we started to interbreed bees 50, 60, 70 years ago from Asia into Russia, into Europe, and now they've come to America. Which really brings us up to the point of the entire exotic species, introduction of exotic species throughout the world has created absolutely environmental havoc on so many species. Can look no further than the zebra mussels in Lake Michigan, the Asian carp that are in our rivers. It's just, wherever you look, we have exotic species now. But in this case, the bees were not able to adapt to a new, in this case, mite being in their body. They didn't have any immunity to it. Maybe they'll develop immunity after many, many generations. Obviously, at some point, the Asian bees developed an immunity to this mite. Hopefully that will happen for the American bees. Otherwise, we are in real, real trouble, serious trouble. The bee pollinator population collapse will continue. There's no way to vaccinate. That's not possible. They're going to have to develop their own antibody if they are to be able to adapt to the mite that is now infecting them. And so far it hasn't happened. I got about 2 minutes left. I'm going to save for next week the discussion on the carbon rule from the Supreme Court on climate change because it's a really big deal. And it changes how we're looking at some of the environmental action or executive orders coming out of the White House. Stepped down in a very unusual, very big way. So for the rest of the time this morning, I just want to comment on the spring migration, which is already underway. And for those of you who enjoy watching birds, it's getting to be that time when you head for Nebraska. Go to the South Platte and watch the cranes. The northward migration of sandhill cranes, the largest migration of cranes in the world, will begin shortly streaming up the Platte River. If you're into snow goose or snow goose hunting, the snow goose population is moving north. As you may recall, for those of you who've talked about it, we have a snow goose population that has exploded in the past two decades and ever is increasing. So we have a quote-unquote conservation season in the spring where the objective is to try to reduce the population. Snow goose hunting now is extremely popular across much of the central part of the United States as geese move northward. They move northward in the spring very differently than they move south in the fall. It's providing a lot of hunting opportunity, but you got to be mobile. The geese could be in Kansas today, in Nebraska, and then in the south and North Dakota a couple days later. Right now, they're still in southern Illinois in pretty big numbers. The Kaskaskia River Valley is one of the major staging areas for snow geese on their way forward, on their way north. So if you want to watch one of the great migrations in the world, it actually happens right here in Illinois as hundreds and hundreds of thousands of snow geese move up the Kaskaskia River Valley and then will head northwest towards the prairies. And the good news about all this is it means that winter is ending, spring is on the way, the birds feel that urge, they are the vanguard of what is to come. And as for watching the southward migration for months, we've now turned it around and the northward migration has begun. Thanks for listening this morning. Hope you've enjoyed it. Be back next Sunday morning with much more in the great outdoors. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.